Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
We've been discussing this week, through the three previous lessons, the subject of ask your preacher. And I come to you again today with a request that you ask your preacher for some information along certain lines. Preachers have existed in many ages of the past. Even Noah, who proclaimed the doom of the disobedient people of his day, is called in the New Testament a preacher of righteousness. The words of Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1, are said to be the words of the preacher. God commanded Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach the words of the preaching that I bid thee, Jonah 3, verse 2. But preachers of that day were limited by the authority of God to the preaching of divine revelation. They were not allowed to preach their opinions or their theories. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, we read, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." So we see the standard by which one's preaching was to be judged was the law of the testimony. If preachers did not preach according to that, they were preachers of darkness. There was no light in them. And this same principle is true in the New Testament. Peter said, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." 1 Peter 4, verse 11. This limits preachers today to the things contained in the divine revelation, the oracles of God. So many things are preached and practiced in religion today that are not mentioned in the oracles of God, that's not mentioned in the Bible. And so much is done that it becomes necessary to ask your preacher for the Bible reference that contains the preaching and the practice. So I'm appealing again today that you ask your preacher about some things that I want to present. And first today, ask your preacher where the Bible says, "Once in grace, always in grace." Now, you've heard that statement, no doubt. Men have been proclaiming it, that if a man is once in grace, he's always in grace. Or in other words, if a man is once saved, he's always saved. This simply means that a child of God can do nothing that would cause him to fall from grace. And that if he is once saved, he could not possibly commit a sin that would lead him to hell at the last after judgment. There are preachers in almost every community who are preaching this. And if your preacher preaches it, go to him today and ask him where the Bible says, "Once in grace, always in grace." And while he's looking for the passage, you might call his attention to the language of Paul in Galatians 5, verse 4. That verse says, "Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." Of course, if a man can fall from grace, the theory of once in grace, always in grace cannot be true. The two ideas are contradictory. But what does this passage say about it? It says, "Ye are fallen from grace." Does this look like what some people are preaching? Not if they've been preaching once in grace, always in grace. And again, you might want to have him read 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. The passage says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." The man who teaches that a child of God cannot possibly be lost evidently thinks he can stand. So even if a Christian thinks he is absolutely safe, Paul says for him to be on his guard, to take heed lest ye fall. To take heed means to be careful, to be cautious. So Paul is telling Christians to be careful lest they fall. And wouldn't that be absurd if the Bible somewhere else says it's impossible for a child of God to fall? And you might also want to have your preacher read Hebrews 3, verse 12. Here we have the words from this inspired author. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." So you might want to ask your preacher these questions relative to this passage. Can a man depart from the living God and still be in grace? If a man departs from the living God, is he still with God? And if he is without God, will he be saved anyway? Now, whatever you do, be sure to ask him for the verse in the Bible that says, once in grace, always in grace. And then we ask another question for you to consider presenting to your preacher. Where does the Bible say that babies were ever baptized? Some have been practicing this. And if he doesn't teach or practice infant baptism, then don't bother to ask him about it. For in that case, he would not find the passage any quicker than I could. But some of your preachers do teach infant baptism, and they baptize babies according to their idea of baptism. It is to people who have preachers like this that I'm especially talking right now. Go to your preacher and ask him for the verse that says babies were baptized in the days of the apostles. Of course, he knows where it is if it's there, and he'll be glad to give it to you in a moment's time. Then you can sit down and write me a card or a letter or give me a call, and then I can find it. I've been hunting for it a long time, but so far I've been unsuccessful in finding any scripture that authorizes the baptism of infants. If the Bible says babies were ever baptized, then I'd be willing to start baptizing babies too. But I want the passage from the Bible before I start such a practice. So maybe you can help me out by asking your preacher for the text. Now, it may be that he'll refer you to the case of Lydia and the jailer in Acts chapter 16, telling you that their households were baptized and that that household included infants. Well, just ask him if households always included infants. In other words, ask him if it's possible for a household to exist without having infants in it. And I wonder if you don't know a number of households that have no infants in them. Try hard and see if you can think of some. It may be your household no longer has any infants in it. Your children are grown. They've reached the age of accountability. They're no longer considered infants. And try hard and see if you can't think of some. And don't you remember some households in which children are all grown? And don't you recall some that have no children of any age in them? I know that you know of such cases. So to baptize a household would not be any proof of infant baptism. Lydia's household was made up of the women who were associated with her in Acts 16, verse 13. If she had been married, it would have been her husband's household. So Acts 16, 34 tells us that a jailer believed in God with all of his house. So all the members of his household were old enough to believe. That proves that there were no infants there. So a household baptism offers no proof whatsoever for infant baptism. So be sure to tell your preacher he'll have to do better than that and actually give you a text that says babies were baptized. If he's been teaching you to baptize babies, you have a right to ask him to give you scriptural authority for it. Don't let him off till he finds it for you. I've often read passages like Acts 8, verse 12, that both men and women were baptized. But in that case, not a word is said about babies. In Acts 8, verse 37, Philip told the eunuch that one must believe before he could be baptized. Infants are incapable of believing the gospel. And when Jesus gave what we call the Great Commission to the apostles, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, for lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. This shows that people must be taught the gospel before they can be baptized. But an infant is not subject to gospel teaching. And if your preacher tells you that This says to baptize nations, and that includes infants as a part of the nations. Therefore, they should be baptized. Just ask him if infidels and atheists are not part of nations too. And does he think that this authorizes the baptism of infidels and atheists? It's an easy matter to find where men and women, believers, were baptized. But I'm waiting to find where babies were ever baptized by inspired preachers and teachers. So I'm begging you to ask your preacher about the authorization in the Bible for the baptism of infants. And then last today, ask your preacher where the Bible says babies are born in sin. I know that many religious bodies teach this, and it may be that your preacher believes this. Perhaps you didn't even know that he teaches this. But go to him and ask him if he believes that babies are born in sin. And if he does, then ask him where the Bible says so. Now, I recall that Jesus says in Matthew 18, verse 3, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." If men must become as little children to enter the kingdom, that doesn't sound like little children are sinners. And he said in Mark 10, verse 14, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." Now, since the kingdom of God is made up of such as little children, it becomes evident that little children are not sinners. But maybe your preacher knows the text that says they're born in sin. And if not, then he'll be able to find it if it's there. So go to him and ask him for it. And if there's anything you want to ask me, don't hesitate to do so. I'm vitally interested in preaching the truth. I don't want to preach anything else. But I do want to preach the truth in its purity. I want to preach the truth in its simplicity. I want to declare the whole counsel of God, as the Apostle Paul said he was doing in Acts chapter 20. And I don't want to shun from preaching anything that's needful or beneficial to people. So we're simply asking you to ask your preacher. Contrary to infants and little children, we know that those who are of the age of accountability sin, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, no, not one. And people need to believe in Christ. He said to unbelieving Jews in Acts 8, verse 24, "Except you believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." He said in Luke 13, verse 3, and also in verse 5, "I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." He says that if we'll confess Him before men, He'll confess us before the Father which is in heaven, Matthew 10, verse 32. And that if we'll be baptized into Christ, we're baptized into His death where He shed His blood, Romans 6, verse 3. And He commands that baptism be preached to all nations, Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. When one does that, he is saved by the blood of Christ. He's added by the Lord to the church. And if he'll be faithful unto death, he shall receive the crown of life, Revelation 2, verse 10. My friend, is that your need today? Or is it that you're an erring child of God who needs to repent and pray God for forgiveness, to be restored to your first love, be restored back to the family of God? If such is the case, today is the day of salvation. There's no promise of tomorrow. But until then, a very pleasant good afternoon.